Standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Welcome in, Jeremy and Joe, here on ESPN 97.5. Joe George. Well, I'm the only person here from Jeremy and Joe. Brian's not here.
Where is he?
He's going to be out at Senate Avenue Brewing tonight with Glenn Davis and Soccer Matters. So they'll be out there.
Out in old Jersey Village. 6 to 8.
Go out, hang out in Jersey Village, get some good beer, some good food. I enjoy going there.
That's where I grew up.
Jersey Village?
Jersey Village.
I didn't know that.
Probably about 5 minutes away from that.
And that's Mike Connor.
Location. Hey, how are you?
Jeremy's on his way to Kansas City to cover the Big 12 tournament or to.
To not. To, last time I was here, it was the women's team he was doing, right?
Yeah, now he's doing real
that
basketball.
Did not last that day.
No, that was it. That was the one day. So hopefully the men's Cougs team will have better success than the women's team.
I imagine they'll probably be playing the Big 12 championship game.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
So that's where Jeremy's at. So he's out today. I'm out Thursday and Friday again. I was out Thursday and Friday last week. Last week was for a rodeo.
Hard working bunch around here.
Look, man, you got to take the days when you got them. That's what I said last week. But I'm going to a wedding this week, so Will Kunkel will be in solo on Thursday, and then he'll be with Branham on Friday. We got a lot to talk about today. We'll talk Texans, Astros, Rockets. We're going to kind of run the table on all the teams. We'll get some Wheel of Bits, a food debate on today's show. But we'll begin with the Texans news of the day. It's not earth-shattering news, I would say, on either move they made, but we'll start with the one that Jeremy and I discussed quite a bit yesterday, which was they need a guard. They need to bring in a guard on this roster and add to it. You don't have anyone playing left guard on
this
team
right
now.
Guard?
And that's the question. They signed Braden Smith, 2-year deal worth up to $25 million. I think I saw it was like 13.75 of that is guaranteed. Played tackle for the Colts, played guard at Auburn. I was talking to Lance a little bit. Apparently, he has little T-Rex arms.
Okay.
Like 30.
I mean, he sounds like a guard.
So, that's a guard.
Yeah.
That's not a tackle.
But he's been cosplaying as a tackle for 9 years?
So, he's going to...
He's literally been a tackle for 9 years
look,
now?
You've re-signed Trent Brown, and we're going to go through all the Texans' moves. We're going to grade them out so far, what we think of what Nick Caserio has done this offseason. But you have Trent Brown at 1 year, $7 million. Feels like that's your right tackle. Ariante Arisri is your left tackle. You bring Ed Ingram back as your right guard.
I like bringing Ingram back. I don't mind if this guy, Braden Smith, turns out to be a guard. I'm not going to pretend to know a lot about him.
No.
But this still screams to me you got to take a tackle in the first round. With your first pick, wherever you're taking your first pick.
I think you still
and then
think,
you bet your bookend tackles.
I think you still take an offensive lineman, no matter what, in the first round.
Yeah.
And really, honestly, with like your first two picks, you're probably taking an offensive lineman. Because Braden Smith is not a long-term solution. Like, you're still kind of... I'm glad they brought someone in. It's a reasonable contract. Doesn't stop them from doing
every
much
single
else.
Contract has that theme reasonable.
Yeah, but it's not a long term solution. So while I'm glad they seem to have addressed it, again, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know a ton about offensive linemen, especially guys I don't really realize. Like, no, the positive with this is that when I think of Braden Smith, I don't think of the times the Texans play the Colts, and it's like, oh, that guy really sucks at football. Now maybe if we rewatch it. It's like, oh, Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson are dominating him on every single play. And, like, that's easy tape to go back and watch just the two Texans games they played this year and in years past. But it's, okay, so you've filled out your offensive line on paper going into the season. I think there's still room to grow, and I think you could have made bigger, better moves, but at least they have five.
I think it's probably about the same as what it was at the end of the season. It's my guess. Like, production-wise, not a lot has changed. Like, they basically have swapped a more expensive contract for two lesser expensive contracts overall in Ingram and Smith. And this is what Nick Caserio does. Like, I know that some people don't love it. I think we get way too caught up at times in they're terrible at this. I was reading Bill Barnwell's thing today, and it was, oh, they've been so bad at this and so bad at that. And I go, well, they've been so bad at all these things they've won. Let me think about the last 3 years, 12, 10, and 10. Now, granted, they've gone to the same round of the playoffs and flamed out in all of them. And then in this past one, the quarterback looked like a giant deer in the headlights, and his offensive line did not help one bit at all in that game as well. I get it. But, like, I think we just go to an extreme way too often. They're not bad, and I don't think they're going to be bad. I think they're going to be good again, and that line is probably going to be good. But it's not... There's nothing sexy about how he operates. He plays, this is what Nick Caserio does. He's playing money ball.
Yeah.
He plays money ball at the NFL level with contracts.
Especially
what he does.
Especially with the offensive line. Like, they're just kind of piecing it together. And like, I have no problem with them trading Laremy Tunsil with the contract that he just got.
People get caught up on the tight end on either trade.
No, I'm fine with both of them.
It's silly.
To me, it's that. But like, you have to at some point start to find some long-term solutions.
I would agree.
And at this point, like, you look at the offensive line and say, okay, yes, they have five guys. That looks like what this could be the offensive line next year. Now, maybe Braden Smith is a tackle. And then you have a $7 million backup in Trent Brown. That, like, that would make sense, too, I guess. But that means you still need a guard.
Flip him in the middle of the year like you did to Cam Robinson.
So, it really just, at this point, like the guard tackle, what is Braden Smith going to play? I think I lean guard, based on the other moves that they've made this offseason. We won't really know until a couple days from now and into the draft of, okay, what are they really doing here? Like, if they go and sign a guard in the next 2 hours, well, then Braden Smith is a tackle. Like, we'll have better intel just as the legal tampering period continues, as the league officially opens tomorrow afternoon, and we'll just have a better idea of what the Texans are doing. My biggest takeaway, though, is just you have to start thinking long-term. Like, you have to figure out, okay, who can we bet on for 4 years, for 5 years, if they're a first-round pick? Because these are all one, two-year deals, and it's like, what's the offensive line going to look like in 2027?
Right.
Well, your right tackle's on a one-year deal.
Right.
Your center's not really that good. Maybe you have a left guard and a right guard, so maybe you have three of your five for 27, but then Braden Smith is off the books in 28. So like, mm-hmm. you just don't have long-term solutions. So on paper, it seems like maybe it's fine. We'll see. But you got to fix this thing for the long term. Whether C.J. Stroud's a quarterback or not, getting an offensive line would be nice.
Yeah, I mean, and last year you took a step towards it in Ursary. We all know that. And that's a guy that played pretty well for you last year. I agree with you. Like, and that's what I'm saying. Taking a right tackle at some point in this draft early is the goal. And if you can piece those two together, because you can have those two kind of guys on rookie contracts for the next 4 years, you know, Ursary for 3 years, plus maybe a 4 or 5 year deal with the rookie that you take, if you take it in the first round or not. And then you build from there, because things are about to get super expensive. Mm-hmm. We know this. Will Anderson, at some point, I'm imagining we're going to hear that news that Will Anderson is signing an extension this offseason. And then it's probably not happening this offseason, but it's going to happen next offseason. C.J. Stroud is signing an extension with the Houston Texans. So you have to lock in some of your core places on rookie deals quickly.
Yeah, and even if he doesn't sign an extension, you're probably talking franchise tag, which is still
astronomical amounts of money.
It's still $40 million, probably. It's
over 50, I would imagine, at this point.
It's just going to keep going up. So you have to long-term, like, you kind of have to money ball it when you have Stingley and Anderson and Stroud and eventually Lassiter, and Nico will be up for a new deal soon, and Petrie will be up for a new deal
soon. You think Nico
soon.
Collins is just sitting back looking at what Alec Pierce got and saying, hey, buddy, I need a new contract here very soon.
Yes, as he should be, because he's way better than Alec Pierce.
And that was the deal. I could not believe that contract.
Yeah, of all the moves that have happened so far, it's the one that I now think is the most kind of baffling to me.
Oh, 1,000. The guy catches 40 balls a year, and he's the highest paid receiver in the league.
I really like I like the Pittsburgh side of this better, where they trade for Michael Pittman and his contract. I think it's better for the Steelers than it is for what the Colts did.
I would agree.
Because then you have Pittman and Metcalf, and if you want to move on Metcalf, you know, someone can take him on if you think he's too much of a head case for your roster, like, you're still fine. And then the other move the Texans made, they took care of their guy.
Their MVP, buddy.
Their MVP. The guy who had the most points in franchise history, the most field goals made in a season, Kyahmi Fairbairn. 2 year, $13 million extension.
Blessed. Blessed. We get to keep watching Kyahmi kick field goals.
It's a little thing, but I'm glad.
Hopefully it's not 40-plus of them a year.
Yeah, I hope that contract is like, man, you paid a lot of money for a guy who's not kicking very much.
He only kicked 28 field goals this year. Well, whatever.
Overpay, but that'd be a good thing.
But then he led the league in extra point attempts or something.
Like, that'd be a positive thing to happen. But those are the two Texans moves that have happened today. Like this has been it's a quieter move. I mean, there's a handful of teams who haven't signed anybody, actually, new to their roster. I don't know if that's changed, but there was five teams as of last night that hadn't made a single addition to the roster. So the Texans aren't the slowest moving team in the NFL, but so far, like, before we kind of go through everything in the next segment, this is not...
They've re-signed so many, I think people forget about that.
Yeah, this contract, this offseason is not to be... is unexpected. Like, this is kind of what I thought the offseason was going to look like, especially when you go out and look at, like, what Tyler Linderbaum got from the Raiders. Like, some of these contracts were just... The Texans aren't in that ballpark of what they have available right now.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of going off of what you know. And what you know is that this is how a Texans offseason typically goes. The only offseason that hasn't gone like this is where they went out and kind of shocked people and got star name value in Diggs and Mixon the same offseason. Mm-hmm. That was the first time we've ever really seen the Texans do anything like that. Overall, Nick Casera doesn't operate that way, even though it was very similar to what he does now because it was very short-term deals. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, man. Like, I think people in general get too caught up in, like I said, name value there. And if you don't know the name, oh, it's the worst. What are they doing? Stop fooling yourself. You don't know crap.
Yeah.
We're none of us are, we're not Lance sitting in an office watching film that actually knows anything about offensive line play. Shut the you know what up.
Well, I do think that he has little arms.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no, that's fine.
That's a data point I can understand.
Yeah. I mean, look, it hadn't hurt everybody. It's okay.
And we don't know the exact issue of this. So I guess the other Texans news that came down today, neither are going to be issues for the Texans, but apparently the NFL rejected Dalton Schultz and Danielle Hunter's contracts. That was tweeted by Adam Schefter, but then I think he deleted the tweet. But like the Pro Football Talk story is still up, so I guess I'm a little confused.
Pro Football Talk's just stealing everybody's stuff.
Yeah, but so there seems to be some kind of issue within their contracts that the NFL said was not allowed, but that won't impact the Texans in the long term. Like, there's just, they probably put some creative language in there that the players signed off on that the NFL is saying, no.
Yeah.
That, you can't do that. So that's not a concern at this point for me. But so those are the moves today so far for the Houston Texans, and it's been quiet. But just big picture, before we go through kind of each one of these moves rapid fire in the next segment, are you happy so far with the Texans offseason? Because there's a lot of panic out there.
I'm not happy. I'm not displeased. I'm in the exact same spot I was when they ended the season. I think they're the exact same team right now as they were when they ended the season. I think they're playing in a margins game. They're trying to get marginally better in certain areas, and if they can get marginally better, and specifically the quarterback position, they'd probably be a better team.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's take a break here. Let's talk about all the moves the Texans have made so far this offseason. What's next on your list? We also talk a little bit more about Reed Blankenship that happened late in the show yesterday. He's Michael Connor, AJ here in for Brian, as both Brian and Jeremy are out today. I'm Joe George. It's Jeremy and Joe here on ESPN 97.5. NCAA March Madness is coming to Houston. Attendance encouraged, passion mandatory. Get your tickets now at NCAA.com/MBB tickets.
ESPN 97.5. It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Get ready. Bracket Madness is coming soon. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, Golden Nugget Lake Charles, and our supporting sponsors, Two Creeks Crossing Resort and Republic Boot Company. On our website already, ESPN975.com, you can find the brackets. You can get ready to enter that on Sunday when it comes out.
Am I allowed to enter?
Yeah.
Like, I can actually win?
Yeah, we enter too. We can't win.
Can I actually win though now?
Yeah,
you're the first time I'll ever be eligible to win a bracket challenge.
Yeah, you're not an official, like,
okay,
employee.
Yeah.
Independent contractor.
Yeah, it's true.
So you're allowed to win.
Okay, good.
You can win a free 2-night stay at the Golden Nugget.
Yeah, I'll take it.
So, you know, just gotta get number one. Who are you picking?
Fade
Michael Connor.
I'm just gonna be a homer and pick U of H. I pick them every year for like the last 3 years.
I'm not gonna.
I didn't even go there. I mean, I just picked the homer.
It's just strategy. Maybe
I will admit to you right now, I've watched 0 seconds of college basketball this year.
See, I've watched a lot because basically Jeremy makes me, especially the Cougs. But
that's not true. I did watch a little bit of one of their games. Who they play? They lost at home during that losing streak. It was a weekend day game. Who the hell did they play?
Arizona.
I watched the second half of that game.
AJ was there. He was at that game.
Sorry, buddy.
Well, most people in our bracket will pick the Cougs challenge. So
yeah,
I'll just, you know,
that's probably a good move.
Just, you know, pick, even though I can't win anything.
Maybe pick the Dukies.
Yeah, we'll see.
I heard they're pretty good.
Yeah, Duke's pretty good this year. Arizona's pretty good. There's a lot of good teams this year, actually. I've watched a lot of college basketball because of Jeremy.
I'll be the biggest expert when the tournament gets here. My nephews are asking me what about this team and that team. Oh, yeah, there's – fine, watch the damn thing.
No. The other move the Texans made late in our show yesterday, they had a Reed Blankenship. 3-year, $24.75 million. Looks like the first 2 years of that are guaranteed, or at least that's how it breaks down, 16.5 guaranteed over the contract. Look, I thought adding a safety was important this offseason – because you had question marks of just who that other guy was going to be. You've used Jalen Reed, you used CJ Gardner-Johnson, you've used everybody. Like, they used six different safeties at that position last year. So I think this is one where, was it a must? No, because they filled the gaps last offseason in a way. But to have someone that you're like, okay, this is just our starting safety this year, I think it's a good
one. I mean, it's fine. It just when it comes in a year where we're talking about everybody, you know, as we all know, they have to improve offensively. You just don't expect them to spend some of their free agent money on something on defense.
Yeah, but I think we should have.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's horrible. And it's not like it's a contract, like all of them, it's not a contract that's going to kill you. So, you know.
No, but it's the second biggest thing, second biggest contract in terms of overall, like,
correct.
Years, yeah. I would say, you've gained. Well, I mean, it's I guess it's kind of in the middle. Because so far, you've signed three players. Braden Smith, 2 years, are worth up to $25 million. Reed Blankenship, 3 years, up to $24.75 million. And then Dominique Robinson, 1 year, $4 million, rotational player on the line. So I think, like, the players they've signed, I don't know, I'd give them, like, a C.
Yeah, I think, like, it's fine.
Like, I don't think they've done anything particularly well. But
it's literally what every Nick Caserio offseason is, the free agency.
They filled the gaps.
He is, you know who he is? He's literally Jerry DePoto. The Mariners GM, he just wheels and deals. All he just wants to shuffle guys in and out.
Well, that's all he's done with the offense.
That's all he does.
So I thought, like, this move, like, I see people on Twitter, and it's the funniest one because people get so up in arms about offensive linemen that teams bring in, and it's not just a Texans thing; it's just an NFL fan thing where people react and overreact to offensive linemen. It's like, unless you get Tyler Linderbaum, and you know he's one of the best centers in the NFL, most of the time these guys who sign in the offseason, like, you don't really know a ton about them.
Yeah.
Like, people, you know, like, are Browns fans really excited that they have Tytus Howard? I don't know why they would be.
I mean,
I don't know why they'd be disappointed either.
Even as
I don't
a know Texans fan. Yeah, even as a Texans fan, you shouldn't have been as excited as you were about Tytus Howard. He's an average player. He's an overpaid average player.
Well, see, that's why he's gone. It's now he's overpaid.
It's because he's overpaid. Like, don't put the value of a player based off of where they were drafted or what their dollar amount. Like, congrats to Tytus Howard. He played his way into getting a team to believe he was, not saying he's bad, but he also played his way into getting a team in a market where it's expensive to get him money, and now he's somebody else's problem money-wise because the value doesn't match what he gives you.
It was honestly kind of one of the moves where the Browns kind of had to. They had zero offensive linemen.
Yeah, they had to. Yeah.
They brought back him. They brought in him, and then they brought back Tevin Jenkins, who's terrible today. So let's go to the extended moves that they've done. So they extended Kyrie Fairbairn, 2 years, $13 million. Daniil Hunter, 1 year extension for $40.1 million. And then Dalton Schultz, 1 year, $12.6 million. Again, apparently the NFL has some kind of issue with those contracts, and they're having to rework something. These moves, A+.
Yeah, absolutely.
Daniil Hunter needs to be here for another year. Kyrie Fairbairn, one of the best kickers in the NFL. Keep him. You never want that to be a problem. Now it's not for the foreseeable future. Dalton Schultz, slowing down, but like $12.6 million for the guy who set the franchise record in catches last year, that's fine.
Let's say if he gives you 65 catches a year at 12 point, you're going to be completely fine with that.
Now, I will say, like, off of that, I would like to see the Houston Texans.
Add a tight end. I'm with you. They should absolutely be looking for his eventual replacement.
Because you don't have...
Cade Stover's not it. Brevin Jordan will probably break something in preseason and be out.
And then they'll give him another one-year contract extension. Yeah. And which is they've done the last 2 years. So it's like, yeah, like on paper, like, okay, you have Dalton Schultz, you have Brevin Jordan. I like the idea of Brevin Jordan. He hasn't played football in 2 years, basically. And you have Cade Stover, who has still played, I would guess, collectively at this point, less than 35 games at tight end in his life.
Yeah, and when he's played, it's whatever.
Yeah, so like you have to draft a tight end, I think, at some point. I know a lot of people want the Coug that's out there this year as an option for the Texans in the middle of the rounds. But you gotta draft a tight end this year. It is one of those where if the board falls your way, you know, you take one. Now, like, obviously, Kenyon Sadiq's not going to be there at 28. You know.
I think it's this whole draft, though, screams Nick Caserio trading out of the first round. Screams it.
Well, I almost feel like last year could happen. Is Ty Simpson going to be – is someone going to do for Ty Simpson what the Giants did with Jackson Dart last year, and will that still be in play for the Texans at 28? I don't think it will be.
I think he trades out way before.
I would like him to, honestly.
I mean, because you listen to all these people that talk about it, and everybody's like, I mean, like, there's maybe like 10 to 15 guys that are worthy of being first-round picks. Then why would you stay in the first round?
Yeah. This draft is, from everything I've read and from the players I like, it's and the picks that we're talking about here, it's a deeper draft and like the back end of the first into the third.
Mm-hmm.
But there's that weird gap where like it's really the front end of the draft that's missing like the elite talent. Like you have Mendoza, you have Jeremiah Love, you have Cornell Tate, which some people are scared off by some injury stuff. You have Jordan Tyson and Malachi Lemon. But like the tackles aren't flying off the boards.
Yeah.
The edge rushers each kind of have some flaws. Where I really like David Bailey. He's a monster. The combine numbers were crazy that he mm-hmm. put up. And he was really good at Texas Tech. But like it seems like the draft is deeper and like the back end and in the second. So yeah, you could trade out if you want to. My guess is he'll wait because that's when he's going to get the most draft capital possible if you have specifically a quarterback on the board there waiting for you. But so far, like, so I'd say, like, yeah, AA plus for the extended moves this offseason.
I would agree with that.
The guys they've re-signed. Ed Ingram, 3 years, $37.5 million. Two-year deal on Sheldon Rankins. I think it's $12 million. Trent Brown, 1 year, $7 million. EJ Speed, 2 years, up to $13 million. That up to is doing a lot of work there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth that much money, but he's just kind of a special teams third linebacker
yeah.
on this team. MJ Stewart's back for a year, and Naquan Jones, 1 year, $2 million. So those are the 6 players they've re-signed. So they've re-signed or extended 9 players so far. Oh, the re-signed moves, again, like I give this like a solid B-plus on this one. I think that Ingram deal, I'm not sure he lives up to that contract with what he gets paid now.
I mean, compared to what everybody was talking about he's going to get, this is a team-friendly deal.
So that's why it's still positive.
Yeah. I mean, there was that talk that it was 15 to 18 a year for him. And it was
I like the Sheldon Rankins deal, 2 years, $12 million. Tim Settle went and signed with the Washington Commanders yesterday where he was drafted. It was a three-year deal worth up to $25.5 million. And really, it's 3 years, $24 million. I much prefer Sheldon Rankins at 2 for 12 than Settle for 3 for 24.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think just the shorter-term deal. So I say another B-plus move. And then, yeah, so far the two players that have left.
They brought back players that are all effective players. Yeah, they all made some sort of difference
yeah.
at some point in the season. That's where, to me, like that's completely fine to bring those guys back.
And then the four players that are gone now, Tim Settle Jr. Signed again with Washington. Christian Harris signed with the Atlanta Falcons. Joe Mixon's been cut. Jimmy Ward has been cut.
Got to get rid of my Jimmy Ward jersey.
You don't have that.
I don't.
I was like, I'm going to have... This is going to derail the entire show of just worst jerseys. What's the most random jersey you've owned?
I own it still to this day. Shane Leckler. Texans jersey.
Why?
That was the punt god, man. I loved him. Who didn't love the punt god? He's a Texas guy. Clanton bought me that jersey back in the day.
Did he really?
Yeah, because I used to talk about how we got the punt god all the time. And one day I came to work and I had a Shane Leckler red, battle red jersey. My wife still wears it.
Really?
Yeah, when we go to anything Texan, she puts it on.
Whatever was going on with the contracts with Schultz and Hunter, it doesn't matter. The Houston Texans just made it official.
There you go.
They have announced the contract extensions for Danielle Hunter, Ed Ingram, Dalton Schultz, Trent Brown, MJ Stewart, and EJ Speed, all just announced by the Houston Texans. So that's all done. Most random sports jersey I've ever owned.
I'll take my other one, too.
Number 37.
Okay.
Purple.
Okay.
Baltimore Ravens, Deion Sanders.
Oh, that's a good number. 37. Yeah. That was a great, the most random number.
Most random jersey I've ever owned in my life.
Yeah, 37.
Yeah, was that?
He looked all of like 37 when he played there.
Yeah, at least.
That one's great. I have to this day, this was after the 2015 season at FanFest. They would do the, if you get it, we would get in early, so they would do you could go buy all the game-worn stuff.
Yeah.
I bought a Mike Fiers game-worn jersey, and I got it signed by Mike Fiers an hour later. Still have it. Part of me wanted to burn it years ago for an internet thing, but then I'm like, I got to hold on to this.
Yeah.
Like, somebody out there might randomly pay a lot of money for this one day. It's relative a lot of money, but like I might find somebody that is so weird they might want to give me like a grand for this jersey that I paid. I paid $5 for it.
The other thing,
and got him to sign it.
So then honestly, you could sell it for anything. It's profitable.
Yeah, it's profitable.
The other thing you could honestly just do with it is it could be an all time. Like if you go to a Christmas party and it's all Astros fans.
Yeah.
White elephant gift.
That's not bad.
That would be an all-time.
See, but I don't know, like, if I could just hand it away.
People would open it like, oh my gosh, I got an Astros jersey, and they'd flip it over.
And it's Mike and Fiers. And
the
it's
rat
signed.
Of all rats.
Signed, yeah. Too. It's got his signature across the four on it.
That would be a great white elephant jersey.
If you're in the market for buying a Mike Fiers signed game worn, it's got the MLB authentication sticker on it. Holler at your boy
at Connor Michael. Yeah. On Twitter.
Best right. offers right there.
Yeah, I don't think you're gonna be your DMs.
It's not far enough. Maybe like 10 more years we'd get some weird stuff like
all
that.
All right, let's talk about the other moves that happened in the NFL. Did any free agency moves sway you one way or the other about a team becoming more of a Super Bowl contender? Maybe a bottom of the barrel team to a playoff team next year, or a playoff team to going to be in trouble next year. We'll get to that next year. Jeremy and Joe, Michael Connor, AJ, alongside me, Joe George, here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Texas hockey fans, Flight by Yuengling, proud partner of the Dallas Stars, will be at McIntyre's in the Heights on 20th Street today, right around 4:30. Stop by, register to win a flyaway trip to see the Stars take on the Philadelphia Flyers on March 29th and snag some exclusive Flight by Yuengling gear. The trip includes two tickets, airfare, and hotel. Must be 20 or older. That's today at the McIntyre's in the Heights on 20th Street.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Texans can lead a punter. Do you remember that one? Forgot about that. It's Tommy Townsend's free agent.
Stringy hair Townsend can go. I'm fine with that.
They just got to bring someone back. They got to sign somebody, but not a priority for the Texans.
You don't want to have a bad punter.
That's true.
They are good special teams-wise. It's one of the underrated things that they've been, you know, good at.
Yeah, it's one of the only John Carroll people in the organization I like.
Yeah, same.
Frank Ross.
Rick, yeah, watching him run up and down the sideline, get excited.
He's fun.
Jump into D'Amico Ryan's arms.
Yeah. Good. He's a good time.
Yeah.
All the other John Carroll ones, not so sure.
I shouldn't completely downplay Townsend. Townsend was fine last year.
No, he was good. No, it's just they need to sign a safety. I mean, a punter at some point. What else? What now that we're, you know, a day and a half, it's obviously really slowed down. You know, you look at like NFL.com or ESPN, any
it's
website.
It's always so fun when it first starts.
It was crazy yesterday. My phone was going off all day because I had my notifications on.
Oh, I turned those off a long time ago.
So, well, yeah, you don't need them anymore.
I just couldn't do it anymore. Like, after I was done with radio, I still kept them on for probably 6 months, and then I just got to the point where I was like, I got to turn this off.
No, so
phone goes off all day long. I can't do this.
Yeah, I really just keep them on just for...
You need to know.
Well, because there's so many burner accounts. There's so many parody accounts that people get caught by, and I'm like, I don't want to be one of those people because I think it's...
There's one over the weekend with the Nick Saban thing.
I know.
Unbelievable.
I know. And like,
people
and
are like running this. Like, former players are like... Bash and Saban left, like, it's fake.
I know. If you just click on the people's profiles, it says parody.
Yeah.
It's like the only
thing. The only good thing Elon's done.
Yeah. He's like, if you're a parody account, you have to make it clear you're a parody account. But people still fall for it all the time. But I keep them on just so I can keep track of what the Texans are doing and or the Astros. And you know, so it's not for everyone. It's just like Rapport, Schefter, Shams, Rosenthal.
Oh, you do Rosenthal? Why? So you can get sources confirmed?
Kind of.
Passon's the only one I would do it for, and I couldn't stand having his on just because that's a personal thing.
Yeah,
because he was such a douche to us.
Yeah, he was. Wouldn't come on the station.
Oh, I mean, this is before. Yeah, when I was.
Well, he wouldn't come on this station either.
Well, yeah,
because you know
he also would get mad at you telling him you're in the way for your view of the World Series game that's going on in front of your face when he's standing up having a personal conversation with people in the middle of a game.
Oh,
yeah,
gotcha.
And gave you this look and this response, like, buddy, I don't. We can take this outside. You and your big head. He's got the most large head you've ever seen for somebody that small.
I still think the funniest reporter thing was Rosenthal last year, though, when he knocked down the cameraman.
Oh yeah, getting that look.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Yeah,
like he's
douchey too.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. All right, let's go out before we get into our thoughts on free agency. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Bring in Keith. Keith, what's going on, man?
Hey guys, called in to John Atlanta this morning. I'm a huge Ravens fan. You know, obviously it's been a pretty chaotic week. You know, we get Max Crosby, you know, feeling great, And then yesterday, it feels like we lost 10 players, including our starting center. You know, so I'm a little bit worried, but I'm also like, if you look at the players we lost, you know, Lindemann is a great player, but he's getting NBA money. We lose our number two, number three tight ends. You know, they're number two, number three for a reason. Let's not overpay for them. We lose our punter. He's not the highest paid guy, so he's technically overpaid. You know, we lose a couple of, like, you know, second and third string safeties and cornerbacks and things like that. I don't know why we haven't cut Cooper Rush yet, but in terms of the Ravens, you know, we lose a safety in Gilman who we traded for Owe. But in terms of the Ravens, the players that we lost yesterday, do you feel like we were kind of gutted, or do you think there were a lot of, like, Harbaughs grabbing his guys to the Giants, a lot of overpays, you know, outside of Linderbaum, but, like, we could easily scoop up a Geno Stone or Jimmy Ward to fill that safety spot, maybe a Kyle Duggar. But it feels like we might have dodged some bullets on some of these overpays, right?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Keith.
Got to say, Ravens phone call being the first call that we get today is not on my bingo card.
Keith is always kind of over the board. I'll be honest, though, I didn't know Keith was a Ravens fan because he went to high school with Jeremy, so I thought he was be a Texans fan. I saw this stat yesterday. The Ravens 2022 draft class has collected a total of $298.5 million in contract extensions.
They should put it all together and split it.
That's crazy. Kyle Hamilton, Linderbaum, Travis Jones, Charlie Kolar, Jordan Stout, Isaiah Likely, all $300 million in extensions from that one draft class. That's why the Ravens
are the best. Texans 2023 draft class for two players.
Look, I think the Ravens are the one team that, like, stands out as, like, I don't know if it changed their future a lot with what happened, because, like, you still have Lamar, you have Max Crosby now, who's going to look nasty in that uniform.
Is their defense going to be any better, though?
But that's I don't know. I mean, you have Jesse Minter.
He'll be, like, better, but, you're, like, kind of will betting, they be better?
You're betting on Jesse Minter. Yeah. Like, that's what you're doing with him. And but, like, if I'm the Ravens, I have playoff expectations this year, but you also have a offensive coordinator who's never called plays and is younger than Lamar Jackson.
They play in a very favorable division this year.
They did this year.
I mean, yeah, they still do. I think, to me, that division isn't very good.
I mean, you still have, yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh's not going to be good this year.
No.
Or as good. I think, I mean, Mike McCarthy, like, he's fine. I think we talked about this when you were in last time.
Yeah, they'll win 9-10 games.
Yeah. You know, and then the Bengals whatever. Will be, it depends on how healthy Joe Burrow is.
Yeah. Do they play any semblance of defense ever?
No. So I think for me, like, the team so far in free agency that's done the most for their cause, honestly, it's the Rams.
I was going to say, yeah, they're like, up there. I mean,
like, you brought in Trent McDuffie, you bring in Jalen Watson, so you steal the Chiefs secondary, you re-sign Cam Curl. Like, I think you've got some questions about who your wide receiver two is. Doesn't matter. Sean McVay will find someone and they'll be good. Like, I look at, to me, and they already were the betting favorite, I believe, for the Super Bowl this year. I think the Rams have just kind of established themselves in these first couple days as, like, the team that is going to be good this year.
I think it's going to be a lot like last year. We're going to look at it all year and go, I mean, barring injury, of course, the Rams and the Seahawks are probably the best teams in football season long.
The Seahawks are interesting to me just because you just don't, like, know when Charbonnet is going to be back and you lose Kenneth Walker. Like, who's going to run the ball? Who's going to run the ball?
Like, I don't think Walker's like the biggest loss in the world. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
I mean, it's Super Bowl MVP, but.
It's Super Bowl MVP, but like, I don't know. Maybe I just don't value the running back spot as much as others do.
No, he shared time. Like,
because you find guys all the time.
Yeah, they can find someone. Like, they can take, like, that's the team where, like, if they take Jadarian Price with the 32nd pick, the second running back out of Notre Dame, like, he's going to be a monster for them from day one. Yeah, the Rams are the betting favorite right now. They're plus 750 for the Super Bowl.
As they should be.
Texans are plus 1,800.
It's not terrible.
I've got 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 teams in front of them. They're tied with the Patriots.
Okay.
It's fair. I don't think there's anyone in front of them that I would say I have an issue with. I mean, the Raiders have gotten themselves probably out of the cellar dweller. Like, they're not going to be the worst team in the NFL next year.
You know, the team I think interests me the most, because, again, this is a division that is not very good. I know that he hasn't been, like, unbelievable all the time, but if Tua is the starting quarterback in Atlanta, like, that's a horrible division. You can win that division with Tua as the starting quarterback next year.
I mean, I think you can probably win the division with Penix as your quarterback next year.
I kind of like the Tua move for minimum dollars. Like, why would you not play him?
I'm intrigued by it. I don't really get what they're doing. Like,
whatever.
Like, Tua, you sign.
They've got some weapons, like
Olamide Zaccheaus and Jahan Dotson, I think it was the other wide receiver that you bring in to pair with Drake London. You re-sign Kyle Pitts, or you tag Kyle Pitts. You have Bijan still. You lose Algier. Like, they'll be fine. I mean, that division is.
Not that they're going to be a Super Bowl contender, but I'm like, yeah, that's an interesting-ish football team compared to what they were a year before.
At least on DraftKings, they do have the lowest odds to win the division right now.
Really?
It's Buccaneers plus 140, Saints plus 300, Panthers plus 350, Falcons plus 400.
Don't believe in the Bucs. I think they're getting old. Panthers, I don't know about the Panthers. I mean, they spent all that money yesterday, which is fine. But, like, man, they felt like they were the team. They are the overpay team, like, hard.
They spent a lot of money yesterday.
A lot of money.
Like the Panthers, in theory, have...
That's why you have to, like, appreciate to an extent. I know there's a lot of Nick Caserio haters out there, but you got to appreciate to an extent that he is not one of these guys that gets bodied into this, going out there and paying some... Like, who's the guy that the Panthers signed? Jalen Phillips, who gets, like, mm-hmm. 7 sacks a year, and he's paying him $30 million a year. He got Danielle Hunter, who is 12 to 15 sacks a year, and basically just gets him to re-up for 1 year at a time.
Yeah. A couple things from the text line, because they're asking for ignoring them. No, I just didn't. I forgot. Let's see. Watching on YouTube today, when did Jeremy get smart and turn redheaded? Great question.
Thank you for acknowledging my greatness. I appreciate it.
Eric asked if we're not happy with the Colts lineman they got today. I think it's fine.
I think he's just fine. Yeah, it's fine.
It's one of those where I want to see it play out. I don't trust Nick Caserio with offensive linemen.
No, that's one thing I will agree. You cannot trust his valuation online.
Yeah, so
is that accurate?
It is, Nick. I give him full benefit of the doubt, him, D'Amico, Henry Blankenship. Like, I have no doubt that they see something in him that's going to make him be an impact player for the Texans.
You know what else they see there? He had a C on his jersey in Philadelphia.
Yeah. You know, you got to diversify your secondary a little bit, too.
Okay, I'm glad Joe said it instead of me.
What? It's funny.
I was thinking about it all day long. Like, okay, they finally brought in a white guy.
Yeah, got a white guy.
You got to get some diversity in the law. You got to have it. If you're going to keep White Boy Wednesday a thing, you got to actually have some white guys.
Someone's got to
be. H-Town.
Cal can't be the only one. I mean, Tommy Townsend's not on the roster. You don't know if your punter's going to be white or not.
Yeah, but Tommy Townsend fit like the Florida trailer park white guy.
Yeah, he's not. I can't imagine like White
Boy
Wednesday.
That's just because of his hair.
Like, Tommy Townsend's the guy like getting the ox.
No.
For that. But Reed Blankenship might. He might be the guy now. White Boy Wednesday tomorrow on the show.
I was here last time it was White Boy Wednesday. Yeah. There's no theme today?
No, not today.
Trash Tuesday or something?
No. Not yet, at least. Jeremy, I'm sure, will come up with something that he'll make Brian do a lot of work for and then tell him he's bad at it for.
He's so nice.
He is. He's so nice. It's so nice not
that's
having
him. That's why that texter says that I'm superior. Thank you.
It's why Junior Bronco asked if I fired Jib on already.
Yep, he's out. I'm back. No, not really.
No, you're not.
Not coming back, people.
No, you're
just like once a month.
You're flying away very soon. All right, speaking of, mention some betting stuff there. I got an Astros betting question. One Astros bet.
Hey, they had a walk-off win today.
Congratulations on a meaningless baseball game. Who hit it?
I don't know. Oh. I just saw that they tweeted. Walk-off win.
I got six potential options for you. I'll give you a pretend $1,000. You're going to tell me which Astros bet you would make.
With all 10,000?
No, with all 1,000.
Okay.
One Astros bet to make this year. We'll go through it next year. He's Michael Connor, AJ behind the glass today. And for Brian, who's going to be out at Senate Avenue Brewing with Glenn Davis and Soccer Matters tonight, I'm Joe George. It's ESPN 97.5.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
All right, Michael Connor, Joe George, AJ here with you today on Jeremy and Joe. Full crew reunites tomorrow. Branham's off to Kansas City to watch, do play-by-play for the Cougs.
Go Cougs.
Go Cougs.
As he always tweets, go Cougs.
I wonder what the odds are for them. Because we can talk Cougs betting since he's not here.
Odds for what? To win the Big 12 tournament?
Yeah.
It'd be pretty high.
See, Big 12.
Them or Arizona, right? I mean,
this is just by games.
I don't even know what the... who are the other ranked teams in the Big 12? Texas Tech?
Arizona.
Iowa State. Okay.
AJ, are we missing anyone?
Texas Tech.
I said Texas.
Okay. That's
the best conference in college basketball.
Oh, Kansas.
Yeah.
BYU was ranked, but...
Right now, the Cougs are plus 1,200 Twins win the NCAA tournament. It's Duke plus 320, Michigan plus 340, Arizona, Florida, and then the Cougs.
What a sucker bet. What sucker bets, those plus 300 ones? Sucker bets.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, is it the most likely? Probably.
But they're just sucker bets.
But, like, you're not making enough.
It's the most unpredictable thing of all, the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, see, for me with the NCAA tournament, I'm always one where if I can get somewhere where I can legally bet, like LaBerge, I will do like three or four.
Yeah.
And then where it's like to where even if Duke hits, if that was one of the teams I picked, I'm still going to be profitable, even if it's by a small margin.
Yeah.
So I use like the same dollar figure and look, that's, you know, get these big odds on everyone. But speaking of betting, I'm going to give you for $10,000. Okay.
Okay.
One Astros bet.
I could really use $10,000 right now.
One Astros bet to make this year. And the goal of this is the one, not the best odds that you think would make you the most money.
Which one I think is going to
Which happen. One you think would most likely hit. So you got the World Series champions plus 2,500. Yordan Alvarez or Jeremy Peña, MVP, also plus 2,500. Hunter Brown, Cy Young, plus 1,300. Tatsuya Imai, Rookie of the Year, plus 850. Or, I went a little creative with this one, Astros to win the division and the American League, plus 950. Which one of those would you say?
I'd feel most comfortable throw 10,000 on.
Yeah.
Hunter Brown.
The only thing with hesitated with Hunter Brown was Skubal.
I mean, Skubal's going to be a monster. There is no denying that. He's going to be great. But also, Hunter Brown's going to be great. I mean, I think if you get a season out of him where he can toss, I know he's close last year. Was he like 180 innings or something? If he tosses 200 plus and strikes out, you know, in that, like, what, 225 to 250 range and has an ERA down near 2, he's going to finish top 3 at worst. Like, I just can't see. Okay, so like the Peña and Alvarez one. No offense to Jeremy Peña, he has no chance of ever winning an MVP.
Yeah, I don't. Peña is one of the ones that, like, I immediately crossed off my list.
But Yordan can, but he just won't. He would have to go out and he would have to hit 330 and hit 50 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he's ever going to play enough to do that.
Yeah, Yordan is. You're essentially just betting on, is he going to be healthy?
Yeah.
For an entire season.
I can't bet on them to win the World Series. I don't think that they're close. And not that they're not close, but I just don't, like, compared to the golden years, they're not close to those teams. Winning the American League and American League West might be the next one that I would take.
So I think I had Imai as my second one.
Okay, yeah, I forget.
So I figured, and honestly, I almost put it first because of Skubal. Where I was like, you know, these rookies, you never know.
Voter fatigue, though, man. It can be real.
If
the numbers are super, super close.
No, you're right. If it's close between...
But Hunter Brown needs to be on a great... Like, the Astros need to be great for Hunter Brown to get the love and the attention that he needs to get over the hump. That's the problem there.
And there's two clear betting favorites right now. It's Skubal plus 350, Crochet plus 425.
Okay.
Which makes sense. And you got DeGrom and Hunter Brown and Cole Reagans all at plus 1,300.
You want to outside the box bet for this year? Jacob DeGrom's trade at the deadline.
I could see it.
For sure. I think it's like 1,000% lock.
Well, he has to be healthy.
Well, yeah. But as long as he is, I think the Rangers would be stupid to not trade him. Yeah. Imagine all the prospects you get back for him.
Especially if they're not in contendership.
They're not going to be a contender long term.
See, the thing with the that's what's so
they have enough pitching, maybe.
Like, I think they have enough pitching to where the Rangers could convince themselves to add at the deadline.
They don't have the money, apparently, to do that.
Yeah, because their TV deals makes them poor, which is a problem kind of all across baseball right now, honestly. Like, that's really the larger issue that people are not wanting to talk about is the fact that all these teams are having to have Major League Baseball take over their television program.
Yeah.
Because
not good.
Their partnerships with the FanDuel network have gone away. Junior Broncos says Hunter Brown, Cy Young. Yeah, I think it's the clear one. I look at this team and I don't see a World Series team right now. I think it's impossible. But
it would take Jim Crane going so far over the top at trade deadline, I think, that's probably not fair, because look, there's stupid years. The Rangers and the Diamondbacks made it to the World Series in the same year. And let's be honest, they were not the best teams in baseball at any point in that season.
No,
at all.
I think the American League is wide open for the Astros to make a run this year still. I have questions about specifically just within the rotation.
Yes.
And really it's Javier and Imai.
I'm getting really excited about Burrows.
I'm
getting way too hyped up on him.
Is that your hype train guy?
That's my hype train guy right now. His stuff has looked and sounded, from what you've seen, being able to see, he's just mowing guys down.
Yeah, then you have, I mean, look, you put a guy who has, like, good potential in this farm system.
Yeah.
Which you need it because Hunter Brown's leaving in the near future.
Stop it, Joe. Got, what, 2 years after this one?
Maybe.
He's a free agent. Let's see. I have his page up right now. He's a free agent after the 2020. Is that? I never understand. It says free agent 2029. Is that after the 2029 season or after the 2028 season?
That's after 28.
Okay. So you have two more years after this one.
Yeah. Well, maybe three.
How's that going to work with the lockout?
Great question.
Or is the arbitration window just going to push back?
I think next year will just count, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is. Probably.
So, like, it sucks for the Astros in that of if you're not going to re-sign Hunter Brown and you played, like, an 80-game season next year, like, you just kind of get butchered in terms of...
If you're Hunter Brown, do you want to just go ahead and take a deal now because you're worried that there could be some sort of salary cap comes in?
Don't you just bang
on the door, give me my money!
They won't talk to him.
Well, they're freaking idiots. And I would say that to any of their... I wouldn't call him an idiot. I would say you are committing... franchise malpractice. I would tell Jim Crane that, who I've flown on his airplane before, very nice airplane, very nice guy. I would tell him you're committing malpractice. And I've had conversations with Jim Crane about money being spent on pitchers and how stupid it is. But I'm telling him he's committing malpractice.
Yeah, I think they should try to get done. I know, like, Jeremy and I very much disagree with paying pitchers. I think you pay certain pitchers. He's one of them.
He's not old yet. He's 27. If he was 34, maybe we have a different conversation.
And, maybe he's going to end up having Tommy John at some point, and that's just, like, the unfortunate reality of...
Just put an extra year in. Say, hey, we're going to put a TJ year in here.
Yeah. They can work that out, maybe during the lockout. And it'd be like, hey, when you have TJ, you get half your salary. But it's not the end of the world. I mean, look, we have to see him pitch in actual games this year, but Garrett Cole is touching 97 right now.
Yeah, they're going to come. Justin Verlander at 38, 39 years old, whatever it was, came back from Tommy John, had a 1.75 ERA and won a Cy Young.
Last thing I'll mention here on the Astros before we move on. We'll get back to the Astros a little bit later on the show, too. But Lance McCullers today threw three innings, a two-run ball, generated six whiffs, striking out four off of 52 pitches.
Who did they play today?
And he touched 95. They played the Orioles today.
Oh, so they played the Orioles minor league system. Because there's no way the Orioles sent starters to West Palm.
No, I do not know a single person in this lineup. Yeah,
that's a long drive. It's got like a 2.5 hour, 3 hour drive. Yeah. They're not sending a single player worth of over there.
No, it's at least it's touching 95.
That's good.
That's nice. I'll still believe anything positive when I see it.
Yeah,
in real baseball games, but we'll get there soon enough. We're only like 15 days away, right?
I think like 12.
16? March 26th?
Maybe it's they're in spring training for 12 more days.
Yeah,
so they're in Florida for 12 more days.
Opening day is March 26th. Okay, so about 16 days until opening day. All right, he's Michael Connor. I'm Joe George. AJ behind the glass. It is Jeremy and Joe here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.